2015, an elite DFS Army Commando unit formed to bring high-level DFS strategy to the masses. Today, hated by DFS sharks and lineup sellers alike, they continue their quest to turn Toad into DFS pros.
Greetings, everybody. This is Chop of Dawn coming at you again with our flagship NFL podcast, Geeks Vegas Lines for FanDuel and DraftKings, where Kevin, a.k.a. the Fantasy Football Geek, and yours truly dive in and break down each and every game on the NFL slate. Kevin is the five-star general in the DFS Army, also a top-ranked Roto Grinders player in both NFL and MMA. I'm your lovable host, Chopadong, the chalk eater specializing in teaching our newer members the fundamentals of player selection, contest selection, bankroll management, those kinds of things. Together, Kevin and I team up each and every week of the NFL season to point you in the right direction when it comes to game flow, trends, analysis, and relevant statistics from both a cash and tournament perspective. We both go by the same names in the Army as we do out on Twitter. Kevin's handle is at Football Geek, and I am at Chopadong. I've said that three times at least. Feel free to give us a follow. Kevin, how are you doing? Week three is ready to go.
I can't even move on to week three before we just talk about the awesome that was week two. I mean, are you kidding?
I hoped you would.
Yeah, are you kidding me? Now, week three is exciting, but holy shit. Week two, we had two second-place finishes in the big GPPs, and your own host with the most unlucky ghost, myself, third place in that same GPP, worth a whopping shitload less than second was. So this was pretty much a banner week for DFS Army members. The domination station was on fire, spitting out CJ Anderson and Emmanuel Sanders and Ty Montgomery and Melvin Gordon, and just pretty much all over the right plays this week. And then I think the best one was definitely the primetime slate, where we basically just crushed it.
If you see any of those screenshots that scroll through what we're doing, those look at those little white dots. They are all over to the right and in the green money. That domination station was on fire.
Yeah, last week it was awesome. And it's not going to do that every single week. It just can't. You know, projections are up and down, and sometimes they're average. But, you know, every once in a while, it just, you know, we just crush the projections, and the optimizer really kills it. But also, the advice was great. I mean, you know, I was all over Ty Montgomery. Well, we talked about here on the pod that the best way to take advantage in a big scoring game for the Packers, you called it Naked Rodgers, which worked out if you were going to play Jordy Nelson. But I was basically, my thought in cash was, Rodgers and Ty Montgomery together, you get a piece of every touchdown that the Packers are going to score. And that's a good, I mean, it worked in tournaments too, absolutely, and I used it. But it's certainly a good, and even though it seems counterintuitive, actually a really sound cash strategy. Because remember, in cash, we don't need the massive, you know, 400-yard, four-touchdown pass game from Aaron Rodgers. You know, if we extrapolate out that, what we're trying to do is get level results from our players, and that's one way to do it. I really like, actually, in cash for high projected teams, especially, you know, scenarios like the Packers, where sometimes the quarterback throws to the running back, and that works with Roethlisberger and Rivers and Gordon, Roethlisberger and Bell, where you can sometimes catch that passing touchdown to the running back. But I really like trying on certain teams where we know the running back particularly is a bell cow, and we know the game is high scoring, as a cash strategy to get both the quarterback and the running back on the same team. That way, no matter which way the game goes, if it becomes one of these three goal line scores for the running back games and the quarterback kind of duds out a little bit, well, I had that running back and he exploded. And if it goes vice versa and it's this crazy passing game, and the running back, usually running backs do all right in high scoring games regardless. But if that happens, then at least we got the quarterback. So it's a really counterintuitive, but I think very safe cash game strategy to play that, and that's what we did. Basically, my cash game lineup was Rodgers, Ty Montgomery, Melvin Gordon, and Kobe Fleener. I used a mix of defenses, but every defense did well that we looked at. It was the Ravens and the Raiders, and you know there was a bunch of them, but they all did pretty well.
Absolutely. You know, can I add one point to the quarterback running back idea that you just mentioned there? I like using it myself when there's a defined running back, like you said, that's used in the passing game, but also when there are so many receivers at that quarterback's disposal, I'm liable to pick and miss if I try to stack the quarterback and the wide receiver. When they spread that ball out, and they see it, they have to have a defined running back. You can't go do this with Breeze and Ingram or, you know, Brady and any of his people, but you can do that with Rodgers this year. You can do that with Phillip Rivers and Melvin Gordon some. The opportunity has to present itself. You know, and last week was a perfect storm where we had three or four of those chances. I don't know if this week's going to or not. We'll have to get into the games to figure it out.
Absolutely. And yeah, that's spot on. This is not something for every team. You need, it's both of those things. It should be a quarterback that doesn't rely on just one wide receiver and combined with a running back situation where he's going to get all the touches and get the goal lines scores. You don't want that. You don't want that Amir Abdullah scenario where they bring in, you know, Washington.
No, absolutely. The one I was going to use, I wouldn't use Kirk Cousins and Fat Rob, and I wouldn't use Alex Smith and Kareem Hunt, both for the opposite reasons. I don't want that running back in Washington, and I don't want that quarterback in Kansas City.
Well, that's just another. Just Alex Smith is not an actual cash quarterback. That's another story in some regard. But,
well,
yeah.
The point is, they have to both work together to use the tactic. So.
Yeah, and every once in a while, throw to the running back is nice.
Correct.
In that scenario. All right, let's get into these games, man.
Yeah, let's dive in. Game one, Thursday night, I'm going to anticipate another Thursday night fade call coming out of you here. We've got, looks like the favorite L.A. Rams, 2.5-point favorites, heading into San Francisco. And the total on this game is a paltry 40 points. Being favored and being on the road, do we still like Todd Gurley?
Yeah, I think you could play Gurley here. I'm not going to, but this is an easy fade game, and I like this week. There's a double sort of there's a London game as well. So, and the London game looks worse than this one for scoring purposes. So, while there are a few options on these teams that I like in a general like season long fantasy football sense, I can't really see getting super excited about any of them for daily fantasy purposes. Like, you know, you could see in season long punting with like a Cooper Kupp again, trying that for the Rams out. And, you know, Gurley, obviously you're going to play him if you have him on your team. And I like Gurley does better when his team is favored big. This season, though, he's done all right, though. And San Francisco doesn't have much as far as a defense goes. So I think Gurley's definitely playable. I think the problem is he might be high-owned here. And at that point, I definitely don't want him. I'd rather him have a dud, root for him to have a shitty game, get in the Thursday through Monday contest. Root for him to have a shitty game. What's the worst case that happens? Gurley has a great game. He puts up 22 points because that's his ceiling. Big shit. I'm not. He's not the nuts. He's expensive enough that if I faded him and he does well, big deal. So
that makes good sense. Do you like him on a short week? Is that another?
I mean, by the way, and the other guy's
column.
No. I don't think that helps. I think every team plays a little bit worse on Thursdays a lot of the time. But I mean, the same could be said for San Francisco. This is a good matchup for them in the sense that, you know, Hyde's been pretty beastly lately. And, you know, Rams are a good defense, but Hyde, you know, just destroyed Seattle. And then I don't think the Rams really have such a scary secondary that you would think Pierre Garçon couldn't have a decent day if they threw him enough targets. So, you know, there's some potential here. Again, there's definitely more season long. With this low total, it doesn't. And the fact that it's a Thursday game where it's potentially going to be higher owned than it should be. The reason for the Thursday fade isn't because teams play bad on Thursday. The reason for the Thursday fade has always been because the players from this game, where you'd normally pretty well avoid it, are going to be a little higher owned than normal because everybody who's entering lineups is kind of looking at it like, I'm going to watch that game, I want to root for this guy. Because or at least I hope so. I hope people who, at least a good chunk of people who play, actually want to watch the games. I know I do. I love watching football. And I think that's a factor. You know, there'll be people who game stack this just to be contrarian. People game stack every game, every single week in a big contest, though. It's not that, oh, it's Thursday, that's why they do it. They do that with every game. We just notice it on the Thursday because it's the only game being played. But, last week when we were on the show, I said, play the slate, but fade the game. And that was huge. That was a huge thing. It worked really well last week because the Thursday was a stanker. And it was terrible. Yeah. And so, yeah, play. If you did that, you had a big leg up because I looked afterwards and the Bengals and, like, these players in this terrible game were they were about 20% owned across the board. If you added some of the percentage totals together, it was even a little more than that. So, like, there were a lot of dead lines. It was like free overlay.
I had 30% of people in my cash games that had at least one player from that game.
That's what
so
I'm saying.
That
yeah.
automatically kills one slot, and in some cases, two, three, or four. It creates your overlay, like you're saying. I assume the next game is similar.
Baltimore-Jacksonville is horrible. This is
yeah,
to
Baltimore,
stay away from.
Well,
if you want to play defenses here, that's it. I mean, Baltimore has Buck Allen, who is kind of trending up right now. He was awesome last week, and he could have another big game. But outside of him, Jacksonville defense good. These games in London are disgusting most of the time. The teams are just off their game completely. They're in another country. There's a little jet lag involved. And the players are out, you know, going to see Big Ben and touring instead of practicing normally. So I hate it. I would not play anyone from that game. Again, in season long, sure, yeah, I'm going to roll out some guys and Macklin and, you know, whoever your standard people are. But in DFS, there's no reason to play this game.
Oh, well, that's two games down.
Yeah.
That's two games we're fading, more or less. Let's jump into the Sunday games at 1 o'clock first starting game. We've got Cleveland at Indianapolis. God, that's another crappy game on paper.
I mean, it's a low total and it on paper, but sometimes a game where the two teams are pretty bad equally.
Well, then what do you like for it? Do you think that this Higgins dude is a thing?
Yeah, there's a few things going on here. So Higgins is one. Now, is he a thing? I don't freaking know. I mean, he's a guy I'm targeting in my deep season-long leagues because he could break out. It seems like they're going to throw to him over anyone else. He had pretty good numbers last week when Corey Coleman came out of the game. For some reason, they went to this guy Higgins, who no one had ever really heard of before, and 11 targets, 7 receptions, and he had 16 points. He had a big day. And why would that stop? I mean, they're not throwing it to Kenny Britt. They don't like him. And there's no one else really on this team. There's one other guy. Ricardo Lewis or something like that. Ricardo. Let me see.
Ricky Ricardo.
Not Ricky Ricardo, but his name is Ricardo Lewis, I think.
And I don't have a song for you this week, just so you know.
Thank goodness. Yeah, Ricardo Lewis. Okay, holy shit, I got his name right. That's crazy. But he got a couple of receptions, and he's, you know, still not playing this guy this week, but, I mean, it's a couple guys to keep an eye on in Dynasty, season-long type leagues. And Higgins is actually playable. Anybody coming off an 11-target day, and they're playing against the Colts, and the Colts have actually been relatively decent against the run. Yeah. And then so far this year, so they're going to have to throw, and it's not going to be an out-of-control game. I think they're going to throw it a bunch. And these are two bad teams. They could do a little scoring on each other. Isaiah Crowell's in play. That's right. I said it. The Crow is in play. So, yeah, he's playable here this week. I mean, yeah, the Colts did well against the run, blah, blah, blah. You know how I feel about that shit.
It's the Colts.
It's the Colts, okay? They're on the They're in the dome. It's the fast surface. And Kroll will have a couple of breakout games every year. Now, obviously, there's some injury situations going on here. I think Jacoby Brissett might be hurt. I don't know. Got to look. I heard something.
He seemed to like.
Oh no, it says
Jack
he will start.
Doyle, when you...
No, it says Brissett will start.
Okay.
So here we go.
He seemed to like Jack Doyle. Is that a thing for you over on the Indy side, or are we fading all Colts?
I don't think you have to fade the Colts. This is the Browns. I think you could play Jack Doyle here. I think you can. I wish the Colts would come out and say Marlon Mack is our starter, so we could play him. I'm not playing Frank Gore. And I don't trust the Colts wide receivers at all, outside of Doyle. I don't really trust Doyle, but I mean, 8 targets, 8 receptions.
Yeah.
That's a pretty good number, 100% reception.
Yeah, young quarterbacks tend to like their tight end, too. He's a nice little safety valve, so.
And Doyle, who I believe has an awesome nickname, the hell, Hard Hat.
Hard Hat?
Yeah, because he's workmanlike.
That's awesome.
I saw that.
He's the Hard Hat.
That is not mine. I am not coining that one.
No, that's
I saw that.
Cool.
I think it could have been even Evan Silva who said it, but I like it. So
I do too.
Yeah, that's cool. But that's about it.
Are those the basic names? Yeah. That's about it.
That's about it.
All right, let's rock on. This game's a little bit more intriguing. And the next one I have on the list is Pittsburgh at Chicago. This one had all sorts of question marks for me. I know Pittsburgh's a 7.5-point favorite. And there's a 45-point total on this one. So, it seems all the Pittsburgh. But then we got Ben's road splits. And we got Le'Veon Bell shit in the bed the first couple of weeks. Still getting the workload. Looks like he'll be back. But do we pay up for him? Can Ben throw the ball? I mean, what the hell are we doing here? This game contradicts itself in a few places.
I mean, Chicago, they're not good. They just got torched by Tampa Bay. They're inefficient on offense. You know, the whole Glennon thing, it's not working out so well.
Got like 4 picks on the year, doesn't he?
He's got a bunch of picks. He hasn't been great. I like this game. I like this game from both sides. So, you know, part of the problem is some of the salaries. Like, listen, I'm looking at DraftKings right now. And outside of, you know, if Jordan Howard's out, I will change my mind mildly. But Jordan Howard... Tarik Cohen should not be $5,600 on DraftKings. That salary level has gotten out of control. I like Jordan Howard. I like Tarik Cohen, but not at that price. Kendall Wright, okay, $4,300. He seems to be the primary wide receiver. Had a better game last week. 10 targets, 7 receptions. Okay. That's a little better. For $4,300, that's very good. It's fine. I think this is a game where we go back to the usual suspects on the Steelers. Even Le'Veon Bell, his price has come down. I like it. Le'Veon Bell is not going to be bad for some long, prolonged period of time. He is the man, and he will be the man. And then we'll all be looking back like, oh, fuck, I should have traded for Le'Veon Bell when his owner was all offering me Bell and someone else for Kareem Hunt. Well, yeah, take that trade. Accept it.
I'm actually working that angle in my season-long leagues right now. I've got offers out for Le'Veon Bell like crazy.
As well you should, but don't be a jerk about it. Offer something good in return.
Oh, I'm offering him Shady McCoy or something like that.
Man, if somebody did that trade, it'd be real stupid. So,
what if I threw in a Jarvis Landry?
There it is. Now that is a trade that gets done. That gets it done, and it's a win for you.
Yeah, it hasn't yet.
That's the kind of stuff people should be doing right now for Le'Veon Bell before he blows up and it's too late. Roethlisberger on the road is not normally like a great play, obviously. Probably not a cash play, but a lot of times they lean on their running game on the road. So let's see what happens this week. But I like Le'Veon Bell here. And always Antonio Brown, Roethlisberger. I mean, always in play every single week. Martavis do what he do. Broke out last week.
Long.
Yeah, that was awesome. So he broke out last week. I had a bunch of shares. And it's about time. Took week, 2 weeks.
Like anything on the Chicago side?
No.
Other than maybe a Kendall Wright punt, that's about it?
The Kendall Wright is punt worthy. But outside of him, no. Nothing.
Okay. Let's put it to bed.
Yeah.
Next game, Miami at the New York Jets, your New York Jets. Miami comes in as a road favorite, 6 points, 41.5-point low total. And this one feels like all the Ajayi to me.
Yeah.
That seems cash friendly.
Yeah, Ajayi is your cash chalk play of this week. We just saw the Jets. The Jets are just not built for the NFL right now. They're to that level of terrible. Their quarterback play is not good. Their running back play is not good. Their defense is not good. There's nothing. It's not like there are young players here who are getting better every week. It's not even that. These are just junk players holding place on a team that's tanking. There are some good players mixed in. Don't get me wrong. But they dumped their linebackers. David Harrison's gone. You get rid of Sheldon Richardson. You really don't have anything at cornerback whatsoever. They have a couple of nice safeties they drafted, but nothing at corner.
Aren't safeties supposed to stop people, though?
Well, the safety's been good, in fairness to them. They've been fine, but, I mean, they're rookies. Listen, they're also rookies, and you can only expect so much out of a rookie safety. They're not, you know, but, you can run on these guys. There's a lot of things you can do here. So, no, the Jets aren't very good. They're very bad. And Miami, they look too bad last week.
No, they didn't.
No, they went
out west
good.
And won a game.
Yeah, they beat the Chargers. Chargers have a good defense. Now, Miami's doing a lot of traveling, and, you know, that's not really ideal for them, but this is the Jets. You don't really need to prepare much. I do think the Jets will play them tough, but in the end, Ajayi is going to be too much for that Jets offensive line to handle. I also like Devontae Parker. I also like Jarvis Landry. There is some consideration. I'm not going to play Jay Cutler in cash games ever. But there's consideration for a Cutler stack of some sort in a GPP tournament. And, so I can understand if somebody wants to do something like that. It'd be a pretty cheap stack with Devontae Parker. But I definitely like Parker. I definitely like Jarvis Landry. And I love Ajayi here as bordering on an all-in play. To be clear, 28 touches week one on the ground and 4 targets, 2 receptions. So this guy had 32 opportunities in cash. What more can I ask for?
No, absolutely.
And playing against
the
Jets.
I was going to ask you, over under 200 yards.
No, I'm going under 200 yards, but I'm going over 100 yards and a touchdown.
And a touch. There we go. Moving on. Denver in Buffalo, Mile High to Snow City. Denver's carrying 3-point road favorite, 40.5-point total for the game. We like home favorites. This one's a road favorite, but the way he got work last week, it feels like a CJ Anderson playable day as well.
Buffalo's been pretty good defensively, rankings wise, and it looks a little like, oh, this is a daunting defense. And then you look again and you're like, oh, wait, they played the Jets week one and they played the Panthers week two, and both teams have no offense whatsoever. So, yeah, it makes a lot of sense that they've been doing really well defensively to start the season, considering, that they're ranked highly, considering who they've been playing. But this is a bit higher challenge. I'm surprised Denver's only favored by 3 here on the road. That's interesting. If it was a little more, I might be a little more excited about the Denver defense here. And I don't love playing defenses on the road, but Buffalo's offense is horrible. I do think, though, that LeSean McCoy is the type of running back that can exploit Denver a little bit. But I don't know that Buffalo's going to figure out how to get him in open space. And we saw what Denver just did to Ezekiel Elliott. Like, I never like targeting offensive players against Denver, period. That team is one of those teams that just does a good job of limiting opposing offense, no matter who they are. Even, Minnesota is kind of that way too sometimes, and there are other teams like that at home especially. But Denver is the most That is the ultimate. Don't play players against this team. Again, probably unless it's the running back for the Chargers, who, again, it's something that the Chargers kind of have their number a little bit.
So I just laugh because what Denver did Monday night was Ezekiel Elliott watched Denver run right by him.
Yeah, I mean,
it's comical.
It's Denver. It's Denver defense. Anyway. You know, they're a funnel defense, so they tend to have better numbers against the pass because they're basically impenetrable via the pass, and so you tend to force opposing teams to run against them, which
I meant the Denver cornerbacks ran past Ezekiel Elliott after they picked balls off.
Well, that too. So it was, yeah, and but that could happen again. So Denver in play as a defense on the road. And we've seen Buffalo be torched by, I mean, Buffalo, their defense is probably vulnerable to the pass, and Simeon's look good, and you know, Sanders and Demaryius Thomas pretty much did really well last week, so I don't have a problem with any of those guys.
I would say mix and match them correct, because they're about the same price, they get about the same amount of targets. Do you just kind of treat, like, coin flip?
I tend to lean Sanders on DraftKings most of the time, because I do think he gets a little bit targeted a little bit more, but either guy is fine.
And nobody on Buffalo other than maybe LeSean McCoy?
I'm not the person who's going to play LeSean McCoy this week, no.
So nobody, cool.
Not for me. I don't like him. There's better matchups. Why would I play that one?
Well, okay, then let me throw this one at you. At home, New England Patriots are hosting the Houston Texans, and we know Houston has an elite defense. I mean, but New England's a 13-point favorite at home with a 43-point total. I think that puts them at like a 28 implied and puts Houston down at 15. This is where we played LeGarrette Blount last year and almost put him in cash. Is Gillis Lee in that role to you?
No, I'm not running Gillis Lee in cash games, even though I like him. His salary is a little bit higher than where I want it to be on most of the sites for the type of player that he is and the type of production that he can get. All that said, I like Gillis Lee, but I just, you know, 5,700 on, I mean, I guess I have to look at who else is available price-wise. 5,700 is pretty high on DraftKings, for example, and I think he's in the, I think he's maybe a little more, he's more of a FanDuel play for me anyway because of the PPR deal with DraftKings.
Absolutely, he's a little more touchdown dependent, and that's that he's favors, be, like a Marshawn Lynch, that favors FanDuel.
Now, understand, the Texans are so bad offensively. We saw this game play out last season. Do you remember? Because I do.
That's why I'm good. That's why I'm good at DFS. I have such a short memory. I don't remember crap.
So one of my weird quirks is I remember everything, or I especially football related. I remember everything.
Arguments between you and your wife must be awesome then.
It's not good. She forgets everything, so it's not good for her. Because I win those arguments just because I always
have
something.
It's the opposite here. I remember nothing. She remembers everything. So anyway, what happened last year?
Houston, they went out to New England. They got smoked, right? They didn't score. It was a zero-point game for the Texans. They literally put up a zero at the Patriots last season. And you know something?
I kind of think
that could happen again. And it doesn't have to be a zero, so, you know, don't hold me to that. But
can you get negative points?
You can't get negatives. It doesn't have to be a zero, but it kind of could be a zero, and that's interesting.
Right.
So,
well, that means fire up New England defense.
Definitely New England defense in play, and stay away from all things Houston. Well, Houston, the reason that they get a fucking zero against the Patriots is because, you know, at this point, the way that they are, they're very easy to game plan for. And they play good defense, but Brady negates that with his Brady awesomeness. And so I'm a little concerned about New England's weapons being injured. And if they all remain injured, and that's why this being a Tuesday is a difficult day to really make a lot of very accurate calls. But as of right this moment, I'm assuming Chris Hogan will play and maybe Gronk will play, so they'll have their their full regimen of weapon. If these guys are out, then actually I would lean more towards the whole Gillisley deal, because I think they'll just say, screw it. Let's just, let's run it and play defense. You know, but they crushed them last year. I think it was a very high-scoring game for New England.
Let me ask you this, and then we can move on to the next game, because this is actually something that is of concern to me. DeAndre Hopkins is getting all the targets in the world. We saw Jarvis Landry go up there last year. Shocker, I did remember something. And absolutely crush in garbage time. And I know Belichick loves to game plan for the best player, and it's clearly, you know, the milk that they're going to take out of play. But for how long? How long are they even going to need to? I mean, we'll go third quarter, fourth quarter. Is he just going to get peppered with 8-10 targets in the second half and rack up a few yards?
You know, against another team, that could happen. And it certainly could always happen, because anything can happen. But no, I don't think so. Because the Patriots aren't going to let up. They're relentless that way. They will continue to double-team him. And, you know, you have a better shot of, like, some backup running back or you know, it's not going to be Lamar Miller. It'll be like Deonta Foreman getting, getting some fourth quarter check down looks and actually accidentally. Like, if this was a two-game slate, the sneaky play might be like Foreman.
Okay. No, that makes good sense. That's why I ask you these questions. I can cross Nook off the old list of possibilities, and we can glide into the next game.
I just want to say, though, back to that game, if Chris Hogan plays with all the other injuries and Amendola out again and Rex Burkhardt out and all that, I once again like Chris Hogan very much, just like last week. If Gronk plays, I certainly will like Gronk a little bit. James White is in play for the Patriots, as is, of course, Gillisley. So there's a plethora of offensive options to consider here on the Patriots.
Which ones would you lean in cash then?
Hogan, if Hogan was, he's getting a little pricey on DraftKings too, those bastards. But if Hogan was healthy, I would be liking him. Brandon Cooks at some point is going to break out, but I'm not ready. I certainly am not paying up in cash this week. I didn't pay for him last week in a better spot, so I'm not going to pay for him this week. And Hogan's a little more reasonable on FanDuel, so you know his FanDuel price is actually like significantly less on a percentage of your bankroll point of view on FanDuel than it is on DraftKings. So I like him a little better there. And certainly Gronk is the man, always and forever.
Well, shout out to DFS and Donuts really quick, who does our price discrepancy article once a week. I don't know if he wrote up Hogan's discrepancy between FanDuel and DK or not, but if so, massive shout out to him. That's an article you guys can find on DFSArmy.com too. Move on to Carolina.
Here we go. Carolina, New Orleans. So this game looks pretty tempting.
Really?
I'm not a believer in it, but it looks tempting on paper.
Do you think it's going to sucker some people in? Do you think it's a trap game?
I don't know.
For New Orleans purposes?
You know, I've been happily fading the entire Panthers offense for the first 2 weeks of the season.
Me too.
Yeah, I mean, we talked about it again week one, and I was making fun of, listen, sometimes when you laugh about something and then it goes the opposite way, you put your foot in your mouth. So I risk that here in saying that, hey, him and Flacco are coming off of massive injuries, Cam Newton and Joe Flacco coming off massive injuries. They didn't practice. They didn't do OTAs. They didn't have preseason. They didn't have any of that shit. And everybody thought they were going to come in and just be themselves. And that is not how football works. You don't practice. You don't have reps. You're going to be rusty. And it does not take a week. It doesn't take 2 weeks. You got to be in there for a while, especially when you've been rehabbing. So it comes with no surprise that Cam Newton has looked like shit for the first 2 weeks of the season. The guy throws the ball over your head in the best of times when he's in good sync and he's had a lot of practice. So now he's just wafting. He's throwing balls like firing off fastballs, 10, 15 feet above the receiver's head. So all these gigantic wide receivers that the GM of the Panthers went out and got because they know that this guy overthrows every fucking
wide receiver.
Oh, yeah.
You got to get guys that can jump, man. You got to get guys that can jump.
What, you think Devin Funchess was a first-round draft pick because he was good? No. It was because he was like 6'5", this massive tight end wide receiver. And they're like, oh, when Cam Newton throws his high tosses that are over everybody's head, this guy has a chance of catching it.
That's right. He's got upper deck vertical.
They literally are building a team around the fact that their quarterback throws them high every time, which is crazy. Because
that's so awesome. That's so awesome, though. If the GM says, well, you know how we combat this problem? We just go draft a bunch of basketball players.
Yeah, they didn't say, oh, let's get him a quarterback coach to help with his footwork or to get the ball. They said, no, we'll just get giant men, and he'll throw it to them. And, you know, the ones that whiff over a normal human's hands,
I can see him drafting.
But
look,
the problem
down
is... The problem
tallest man available, we take you.
No, the problem is Newton, because these guys are bigger, he aims a little higher, and so the whole thing gets fucked up. And it's like, dude, pretend that that's Steve Smith out there. He's 5'9". Remember you had him on your team, used to catch passes because he was tiny. Steve Smith was so awesome that you could throw one over his head. He would track that thing down, jump 4 feet. Like, he could track those down and catch them. But you know, these giants, he just throws them higher, and they don't have the speed, the quickness that Steve Smith had to go out and get them.
I love the mentality of he throws high, he misses high. We draft tall guys. Oh, he sees they're tall, he throws higher. We draft taller guys.
Yeah, it's a vicious cycle going on.
Now it spirals out of control like our podcast.
Now, so that's the point. So. Still, you have to have exposure. So now that I just did that, and for cash, I don't feel good about this game. Although, again, I kind of like some players on New Orleans in cash, so I'm not going to say I don't feel good about it. I do feel good about the cash. But in tournaments, you know, can you trust Kelvin Benjamin? I'll say this. Kelvin Benjamin, very cheap this week. Very reasonably priced, and I love a bargain. I cannot trust him in cash. I just can't, because it's Cam Newton, and until I see that he's able to actually complete a pass, like, and throw it the way an NFL quarterback is supposed to, I can't really, like, be cash confident. But in tournaments, you do need exposure to this game. It's very high scoring. It is New Orleans. It is the Panthers, and they have it inside of them, both of these teams, to put up a massive score. On the Saints... You know, obviously, coming off of a couple rough outings for Drew Brees, at some point Michael Thomas is going to break out. Yeah, he is the man, and at some point he's going to break out, and it could be this game. Panthers don't really have the type of cornerback play that is going to limit a team like the Saints. They've been probably better against the run, but against the pass they've been fairly vulnerable, so... You know, and I think the average thought is going to go the way that yours is. Oh, New Orleans, they kind of disappointed me a little last week. And that was the Patriots, like a much better team. And then the week one, they disappointed me. Well, that was on the road facing a Vikings defense that stopped everyone. So, you know, chalk it up. Now, no one's going to be on this team. So I kind of like New Orleans on the road in GPPs. I don't know if I'm super excited to spend up for Michael Thomas, because he hasn't quite yet this season demonstrated his studliness, but even enough of a target share to really get me like fired up about spending a lot for him. But realistically, every single week we're spending up for like fucking Amari Cooper, and that guy never does anything. Like, at least Michael Thomas has a chance. You know, sometimes does some stuff, but I want to just check his target numbers last week. And I mean, he had 10 targets, 5 receptions. So 10 targets, I'll take that. If he gets 10 targets in this game, he'll catch more of them because the Panthers aren't as good. Like, give me 10 targets, 7 receptions. You know, that 10 for 89 yards last week, not, you know, 5 receptions, 89 yards. If we turn that into 7 receptions and 115 yards, all of a sudden you're tacking on a couple more points, a 100-point bonus, and a 14-point day becomes a 22-point day. And I'll take that. At 7,000, his salary has come down. Started at 74, 75, now it's down to 7. I like that. I like Michael Thomas this week. I'm going to think about him as a cash play.
Oh, wow. He's tempting you.
I'm going to consider him. And Kelvin Benjamin, 6,700? Oh, hell no. No. But on FanDuel, again, another Donuts will be on this. Another price discrepancy, whereas his price got jacked up on DraftKings because they are very quick to change the salaries on DraftKings. FanDuel is relatively a much cheaper 6,600, priced right alongside the stud that is the studs that are Tyrell Williams, Brandon Marshall, and T.Y. Hilton. So, yeah, Kelvin Benjamin, I definitely like him more than Brandon Marshall, who is unstartable. You can drop him in your season long. Tyrell Williams, meh. Yeah, I don't mind Kelvin, but in general, I probably go down to some other names in cash, so I'm not going to probably go with Kelvin in cash. But I think
put him in salary purgatory.
But he's playable. He's playable. And again, lots of targets. I mean, last week, 6 for 8, so I mean, he completed the passes that were thrown his way. So, who'd they play? Buffalo? Didn't do a lot of scoring.
I'll tell you
game.
What, we're on a pretty good pace here. We're at 30 minutes and we're halfway through.
There we go. I was told to try to get it done in an hour.
Well, you know what? This game ought to be really easy. This Tampa Bay at Minnesota game, it's got no line on it. I assume that's for Sam Bradford, so we don't have to talk about it, right?
We can be prepared for if Sam Bradford plays or if he doesn't play. So
I'm messing with you, man. Take it off and run with it.
Yeah, I talk about every game. Vikings are a tale of two teams, one where they have a quarterback and one where they don't. So last week it was pretty sweet with the DFS Army situation. We're getting the news about Bradford, will he, won't he play, and there was this fake rumor going around that, oh no, it's going to be fine, and like there were these, a lot of it was like people talking about, no, he's going to play, they're just being cautious, but I'm like, you don't call up your practice squad quarterback
right
when you really think he's probably going to play. That was pretty stupid.
You don't say Sam Bradford knee issue as some kind of media fake out.
Yeah, I never thought that. Now the reason it was a big deal was because Stephon Diggs and Adam Thielen with Sam Bradford in there was the value play of the week. Like there was no better value on the board than Adam Thielen at like 5,500 on FanDuel and 5,000 on DraftKings. He was the first player that I would default to in every lineup. So I was like, shit. When all this news started coming out, I kind of put out like, guys, it's time to start changing around your lineups and be prepared for this. Like at this point, even if Bradford plays, anytime it's a game time decision, you really don't want to play anybody associated with that. Like you saw even last night with Odell Beckham. Game time decision, he warms up, he ends up playing. But they don't feature him because he hadn't practiced all week. That was the most obvious thing that you're ever going to see in your life. So the same can be said here for the Vikings offense last week. Now, we got to see what happens this week. It's Tuesday. They haven't practiced yet. So if Bradford's practicing all week, then we're going to be firing up Thielen and Diggs and Cook as is the case every week that they're at home for the entire season. They're all going to be great. If Bradford goes for another week, the knee, and they're not sure, and he hasn't practiced, at that point, the risk factor is in there. We don't want to really go crazy with the cash games because, you know, the whole point in our cash game is let's get rid of nuggets of uncertainty as much as possible, and that is a big nugget of uncertainty right there. And for the Bucks, man, they look great, but this is a tough defense. You don't really want to play teams on the road at Minnesota. You just don't. I like one player and one player alone, and that is DeSean Jackson. And my main reasoning for that is if they're going to put Xavier Rhodes on Mike Evans, then DeSean Jackson should have a little bit of open space. Again, we don't want to play go crazy. DeSean Jackson has rarely, pretty much never been a cash play anyway. But, this is Minnesota, so you don't want to go nuts with it. But
That'll be sneaky.
Yeah, I like DeSean Jackson in tournaments more for the whole Xavier Rhodes factor than anything else.
Sure, it makes good sense. I would not have thought of that myself. That's why you're the geek. What do we got? I don't know who's the home team here. What are we at? Detroit, right? Atlanta at Detroit. 49-point total on this game. Atlanta, 3-point road favorite. More road favorites. Is it? Gosh, home dog and road favorite. I like Matt Ryan and I like Matt Stafford. Do I play them in cash?
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah, this is a good game. What I like about this one is you have the fast turf indoor at Detroit, which will benefit the Falcons. And we saw it, the difference between how the Falcons played week one and week two. You know, week one, they're in Chicago on that actual grass field over there. And then week two, they're at home in Atlanta on the turf, and they're flying around. Week one, they look kind of sluggish. So this will be a high-flying game, and both sides of this game are definitely interesting, definitely in play. Now, don't be fooled by what Detroit did to the Giants yesterday. That was a lot more of the Giants being terrible than Detroit being this great defense. The Giants just are terrible. It's not that Detroit is that good. No, they're fine defensively, but they do give up a lot of yardage through the air. And Atlanta likes to throw for a lot of yardage through the air, so it's a match made in heaven, really. For the Lions, the hard part is really trying to figure out who you want to play. I don't really trust any of their wide receivers as a cash play. Sounds like chaos is going on at your house, literally.
Microphone's hot and got lunch prep going. I apologize for that.
Yeah.
I tried to leave the room. I didn't realize that was that loud. I apologize.
It's like chaos. and you have
she's like 25 feet away from me. That's amazing.
Really? Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
All right. So the Falcons, Julio Jones, Matt Ryan, Devontae Freeman, you know, all of the usual suspects are at play. I just like everything about this game. Detroit, I was saying last week, and I'll say it again, unfortunately, he doesn't really do much with it, but Amir Abdullah is the starting running back, and he gets the bulk of the carries for this team. People haven't quite figured it out yet, oddly enough. Or I don't know if it's oddly or not, but because it just hasn't translated into big scoring days, partially because they take him out at the goal line, which sucks. So, I mean, if they're going to do that, it's really going to, you know, hamper my desire to ever use him. But he is the starter. I'm trying to find the stats from last week, and here we go. 17 carries, but 0 targets, 0 receptions. So he got all the carries. The week before, he got some targets, too. Last week, he got none. But 17 carries compared to Theo Riddick, 9 carries, 3 targets. Riddick is the backup. And Riddick, actually, a lot of that stuff came in garbage time when they were killing the clock late in that game. The problem is, hello, Dwayne Washington. Goal line carries. Really, bringing in Dwayne Washington on the fucking goal line? You're going to vulture me. So that sucked, and I hope they stop doing that, because if Abdullah can't get those goal line touches, he's just not going to be valuable. But if he did, he's a sneaky, sneaky value. Freeman, big game last week, 2 touchdowns. Why not use it? Why not go back to the well? He's very inexpensive, relatively speaking. I certainly like him a lot better than I do Tevin Coleman, who gets almost half the number of carries as he does, and isn't enough cheaper to really make me want to play him. I love this game. This is a really, it's probably under the radar right this moment, because everybody's talking about some of these other ones, potentially. I don't know how under the radar it's actually going to be. As I look at it,
there's
one game that stands out, and we're going to get to it, because it is the hammer, so we'll get to that.
Oh, absolutely. Well, let's pound through to the next one, then. New York Giants at Philly. Philly's a 6-point favorite and 43-point total. I don't have much to say about that game. I'll let you take it away so we can make up for some lost time here.
Yeah, here we go. So Giants, good defense. Not the kind of defense you want to really target a lot of players going against. On the flip side, Giants, a terrible offense. They get sacked all the time. Eli Manning, turnover machine. So Eagles at home, they're a good defensive team. We saw what the Lions did to the Giants last week. I don't see any improvement. Why would there be? Eventually, the Giants will turn around. They do this every year. They start off awful. But it usually takes like 4 or 5 games for them to turn it around a little bit, start being okay. And, you know, that can happen at any moment. That's how that team always operates every single year. But I'm not sure it's going to happen here. This is a tough spot for them. I like Philly defense. My favorite player on the Philly team is Zach Ertz. He goes back to chalk levels as he was week one. Giants can't stop the tight end. Giants have a nice tight end, but Philadelphia has been pretty good against tight ends outside of last week. So they're not going to be ranked well against tight ends because of last week. But and the Travis Kelce fantasy points eruption. But in general, they're pretty good against tight ends. And so, you know, Odell Beckham is back here, which is a concern from a defensive standpoint. I think the Giants get better when Odell Beckham is at full strength. I know that is a big difference with that team. So keep that in mind. That's the risk with the Philly defense, is that Odell Beckham shreds them. But again,
Do you like Carson Wentz? Are you surprised by his production so far this year?
No, I do like Wentz, and I thought he was the best quarterback of that draft last year. And yeah, I mean, he looks like a franchise. He has the potential to grow into a franchise quarterback. He has good poise. And yeah, I like him. I don't have a problem. We have to also, there's some injury things. I just want to note this with the Giants. There's some injury situations in their defense that I'm monitoring and that we don't know. Like Dominic Rogers-Cromartie came out of the game at one point last week, and the other cornerback who was even better didn't play last week. It's Janoris Jenkins, I think. Is that who it is?
Mm-hmm.
Let's see if those guys are going to play, because maybe slightly, probably not. Alshon Jeffery, no. I like Zach Ertz. Screw Alshon Jeffery. Outside of Zach Ertz, obviously the Eagles' running game is non-existent. Giants' running game is non-existent. Giants, the only alternate wide receiver on the Giants that has any fantasy interest whatsoever is Sterling Shepard. And I think with a full, healthy Odell Beckham on a week of practice, they're just going to feed him. So if you need a contrarian play this week and you want to pay up for it, you might as well grab a share or two of Odell Beckham, because I highly doubt he's going to be heavily owned.
So do we move to Tennessee now, I think?
Yeah.
Is that right? Seattle goes into Tennessee. Tennessee's a 2.5-point favorite in this one, apparently. And what, we're at a 43-point game total? Now, Seattle obviously has issues on the road. I don't trust any of these guys until I see them warm up and, you know, realize that it is actually the football season and not the preseason still. How does Tennessee handle them? I do get a little bit worried by them facing Seattle, but I don't know. Tennessee's been okay. I mean, what do you think? What's your opinion on Tennessee?
The situation I'm monitoring the closest is the DeMarco Murray health situation, because if Murray's out, then Derrick Henry becomes very interesting for his salary. Seattle, and they're very good against the run until Carlos Hyde shredded them for like 24 points last week. So they can't be that good against the run. And the Titans, I think, are just going to run it. I think this is going to be a low-scoring defensive game. Russell Wilson is just not clicking with his wide receivers yet. I'm pretty sure I saw Jimmy Graham get hurt last week. I don't know what his status is. But if he's out of there, I mean, who are they throwing to? Now, I guess Baldwin is interesting here. Again, if Graham is out, then they're going to have to target Baldwin and lock in a little bit more. And the Tennessee defense is not good, but I just have a hard time trusting Russell Wilson and his wide receivers right now until he shows me that he can actually play like Russell Wilson, which we haven't seen so far this year. We've seen two really bad games from Seattle offensively, and again, they're another team, and it's odd that always starts slow like this. Like, this is what they do. There are certain teams that just always start slow, and we need to make a note of that, because, you know, Seattle always does this. The Giants always start like this. And then they kind of turn it around. Seattle kind of turns it around, come on strong late, you know, make the playoffs.
It's easy to fade Seattle until you see them warm up a little bit. I fell into the trap last week and played some Baldwin in some places. Really kind of bit me in the butt on that one, but lesson learned.
And paid up for him, too. It's brutal to pay stud money for a guy, and then, you know, he has this shitty game. I did that, too. So you weren't alone. I played him a little bit, not too much.
I wasn't alone. He was like 28%.
Yeah. I mean, it was supposed to be this great spot, and Russell Wilson. I mean, I didn't play Russell Wilson in cash, but I certainly had a couple of shares of Doug Baldwin.
Yeah.
What else we got?
Well, moving on. We got Kansas City going out west to the Chargers. I want to keep calling them San Diego Chargers. Sorry, San Diego people. But I just can't.
I don't feel sorry for San Diego. Have you seen the weather in San Diego? It's freaking unbelievable.
I just can't. I hate it when cities lose their teams, and I can't fathom that LA has two teams now and can't fill one stadium with both teams at the same time. So whatever. I kind of makes me wonder. I mean, Kareem Hunt is now the second freaking priced running back on the slate on FanDuel that feels overpriced, even as monster studdish as he has looked. That feels like that price shot up so fast it's unsustainable. I don't know. It's on the road. I know they're favored and stuff. I don't know where to go in this game. So this is another one where I'm just going to look to you for direction.
Truly, this isn't. It's a little bit tricky of a game. I do think Kansas City though is going to do some scoring here. And I'm perfectly fine with using Kareem Hunt again. I mean, go right back to that well. In cash games in particular, I'm probably more worried about Philip Rivers and his crew. They haven't looked good so far to start the season, or they haven't looked great. Like, you know, normally I'd want to play Gordon again here, but, I mean, Kansas City's got a pretty good defense. And the Chargers' offense hasn't looked spectacular. So I'm a little bit worried about that play. I think this whole, you know, obviously Travis Kelce was crazy last week, and there's no reason why he shouldn't be playable again. And then Keenan Allen, it's a tough matchup for him. The Chargers, we have to see the health status of the Chargers secondary. But one of the nice things about the Chiefs is they negate the Chargers' defense in a sense, because the Chargers bring a really good secondary to the table, but Kansas City basically rolls out two sort of edge wide receivers that they never even throw to. They just distract the opposing quarterbacks with those two guys. Like they literally, it's an interesting offense where they throw decoys out there for the most part that they never. I think Conley and
Albert Wilson,
like, they're literally decoys. They don't do a whole lot. They get a couple, you know, targets each game, enough to keep the defense honest, but you know, not enough to ever score any fantasy points. Wilson's averaging four targets a game. Conley's averaging four targets a game. You know,
I'm surprised they're that high.
Yeah, they get a few targets, but I mean, they don't do much with them. Tyreek Hill remains a gimmicky player that the game plan in plays for, but if that play, like week one, that crazy play led to a 75-yard touchdown run, which produced a big chunk of his scores, and obviously he did well in the passing game too, which was great in week one. And week two, you know, that running play got stopped for a 6-yard run, and that was it. So I do like Tyreek Hill, but he is a GPP play for me most weeks.
No, I love it. I'm glad people are finally starting to say that. There for a while, they were touting him in cash, and I'm sitting here the whole time going, it doesn't feel cash to me. He feels like a burner. You
well,
know?
I
he
mean,
feels
he's
like,
going to
like
get...
Like you said, a gadget gimmick play.
He is. He's Percy Harvin. But I like Percy Harvin for a bit when he was healthy, too. I mean, he was putting up big numbers.
That might be a little bit of a shot to Tyreek Hill, but, you know.
No, Percy Harvin was good when he played. He just had the headaches. But he was good when he played. Like, he was good when he was out there. He just didn't play enough. He was always hurt. So, Tyreek Hill, I think he's getting better each week, and he might graduate again back into cash playable, probably after he has just one decent game. But I didn't think so. Even last week, as I was looking at his week one numbers, I was kind of like, oh, you know, that was that one massive broken 75-yard play, and that you can't count on that every single week. So well, I do
about
like him.
Targets with him.
I like him, but I'm probably not feeling cash safe with him on a road here. But again, it's weird because this game we want a lot of exposure to it. Hunter Henry,
mm-hmm.
Travis
mm-hmm.
Kelce, like the tight ends in this one both look good. I don't have a problem with playing anybody in this game, to be quite honest. They're all in a pretty decent spot. This is the first meeting of division rivals. We know that division rivals play worse in the second meeting, and we don't touch them for fantasy purposes, but the first meeting should be no big deal.
Fair enough. Next game has a little bit of goodness in it, too. Cincinnati goes up to Green Bay. Green Bay's 9-point favorite, which I assume puts the defense squarely in play, facing Andy Dalton. But what I'm seeing around the industry right now is a lot of love for A.J. Green. I don't necessarily trust it with Dalton throwing to him. Do you?
Not really. I mean, you can always play A.J. Green. You can always play him because he has GPP breakout potential every single week of the season. That's A.J. Green. So he's playable in that sense. You can always play this guy. But, I mean, the Bengals' offense has looked absolutely horrific. And A.J. Green, it's not like he's some bargain play. He's the second most expensive wide receiver.
Mm-hmm.
Is he? I mean, let me get the whole...
He's up there.
Oh, no, okay. He's right up there, though. I mean, he's... I had a couple of games clicked off, but he's the fourth most expensive wide receiver on DraftKings. He is a much more reasonable. Actually, I do like AJ Green on FanDuel a little bit, where he's priced down to 7,500 correctly.
I know what they're doing. They're playing like the matchup in the secondary. I mean,
the Green Bay secondary is not super special, so you can play A.J. Green here. You know what it is?
But it's Dalton throwing to him.
Don't think by the fact that you said you've heard some people around the industry that means like Green is going to be some chalk play. He's not. He will be wildly low-owned, and he makes for much more so of a GPP play than anything else. Although, on FanDuel, I could probably make an argument for using him in cash at that salary. I mean, he's so far below the other studs. He's 1,000 less than Mike Evans, 2,000 less than Julio Jones. He's below Amari Cooper and Crabtree. He's right at the same price as Michael Thomas, Brandon Cooks, Golden Tate. I'll take A.J. Green over Golden Tate, even though Tate might outscore him this week. But in
Crabtree?
General, yeah, I don't trust Crabtree because what if it's a Cooper game? I have never done well with these. Now, has there ever been a Cooper game? I don't know. I've never done well with these Raiders
game
wide
one,
receivers.
He dropped three in the end zone.
I mean, but aren't they going to go back to Cooper now and say, hey, you know, I never know. I have a hard time. You know,
I think he goes back to no red zone targets. And he's between the 20s.
And I don't know what's going to happen. I have had a hard time, I will admit, figuring out this wide receiver situation for the Raiders. I rarely even play them. I almost never play them.
We can talk about that in the next game. Is there other stuff that you like with Green Bay? I assume you're going to fire up the Rodgers, all those guys.
No, Green Bay is important because is Jordy Nelson hurt? Is Randall Cobb hurt? There are, you know, if they are, then Davante Adams becomes a pretty de facto, a really, really exciting play and a number one target. And what about
he should be chalked?
Absolutely. And what about who's going to replace those other two? I mean, now we're talking Geronimo Allison and Jeff Janis maybe getting reps. So at 3,000 minimum, some of these guys on some of these sites. So. Yeah, we have to monitor the Green Bay situation very closely. For some reason, you know, looking at the numbers this week, I didn't, like, automatically say, yeah, I'm all in on Ty Monty, but I don't really see why not.
That's what I was going to ask you, why not?
Yeah, there's no reason not to be.
9 points favorite at home, scheduled to score 26, 27 points.
There's no reason not to. So, you know.
Nothing intimidating about Cincinnati's defense for me. They use him in the pass and the. I mean, shit.
I mean,
roll on.
Isn't that kind of the reason we do this, though, right? Because I'm looking at the, like, you know, I kind of first looked at Monty, and maybe he's a little more expensive salary wise. I'm not sure, but I kind of first looked at him like, eh. You know, I'm looking elsewhere this week, but why not play Ty Monty?
Personally, I would fade Kareem Hunt before I faded Ty Montgomery this week.
There we go. That is a Chop-a-Dong special right there.
Which means it's got the jinx tag to it. It's going to backfire like son of a bitch.
It's possible. I'm of the mind that you don't need to fade any guy, any of these guys. They're in good spots. You can play them. Ty Monty, why not? Aaron Rodgers, I'm not going to play. If Jordy Nelson is out and Randall Cobb is out, but even if just Jordy Nelson is out, there is some danger here that the Bengals can focus on stopping. Like, if the two main guys are out and it's Davante Adams, Adams does not do well against good coverage. You know, he's not that kind of a player. He doesn't run, you know, he's not Jordy Nelson by any stretch. So, you know, I can see him getting double teamed, and then they have to throw to the other guys, and Rodgers is off his game, and so you know, this
feels,
whole game
feels more and more like a Montgomery game to me.
You know, you'd think they would feed Montgomery a little more, considering we just have to see what the injury situation. I like the Packers with Jordy Nelson healthy and play. When he's not in there, Rodgers just is not the same quarterback, and they're just almost not the same team. It's amazing what an impact Jordy Nelson has on this team.
Move on?
Yeah, there we go. And we get to...
We're tracking on a decent pace. We get to the hammer game of the night again, week two in a row. But this one is different teams, and I'll tell you what. In this one, 54-point total, Oakland favored by 3, heading east to Washington. That doesn't bother me. You hear the west going east. That's for early games, not for late games, especially Sunday night games. What bothers me... This game feels, you know, like last week was lock and load. This week doesn't feel that way to me, only because we haven't seen Cousins perform. We don't know Crowder's usage. We don't know what the hell is going on with Terrell Pryor. They got two running backs we can't focus on. Yeah, they're at home. But then you do have Oakland on the road where they typically don't perform as well. Most teams don't. But yet Derek Carr's on fire. Crabtree and Cooper, like you said, is a debate. They got no running backs that we can trust. And then there's that Jared Cook fiasco that might factor. I mean, good Lord, there's so much going there. But I can see this game kind of being flat, too. So...
It's not super predictable. By the way, I do think you can predict the Oakland running back situation. I think Marshawn Lynch is the man there.
Where was he last week?
They took him out. They were destroying the Jets, and they said, why bother? So they only give him 12 touches, and they take him out of the game. And I used a lot of Lynch, and then they bring in... It sucked, but I mean...
He's the reason I missed cash on FanDuel. I bricked off on FanDuel so hard last week, it was sad.
This is the fear of those massive favorite scenarios. So they said, we got this. Let's bring in Jalen Richard for 6 touches and 2 receptions. Let's give DeAndre Washington 6 touches and 3 receptions. And let's, you know, so all of a sudden... It was a 50-50 split between these three running backs where...
Shouldn't have been.
No, I mean, I guess it shouldn't have been for fantasy purposes. I understand why they did it at home.
Shouldn't have been for my purposes.
Yeah, definitely didn't do good. I mean, you know, you would have liked to have seen Marshawn Lynch come in on one of those 3 goal line opportunities, just punch it in. Instead, they threw it to Crabtree. But, you know, that's the break sometimes. So... But I still think Marshawn Lynch is the primary running back on this team. Now, unfortunately, again, they priced him up this week. It's not the easiest game to load up on. I can just say load up on Derek Carr.
Mm-hmm.
I think you probably should pair him up with Michael Crabtree. I mean, I think you got to, you know, in my mind, I think it's... I can't predict this. It's very difficult to... I always think it should be Cooper, and it's always Crabtree. At some point, we have to give up on Amari Cooper.
One of these days, you guys will learn that.
Yeah, I mean,
I'm telling you, I never choose Cooper, and I never choose Demaryius Thomas. In both those offenses, I always run Sanders, I always run Crabtree, and I always seem to do okay. I'm not saying it's right. I'm not saying that the other receivers aren't good. I'm just saying that when you can't decide between two, just pick one and roll with it.
I'm down with that. So, and I like that. I think that's been working for years. There's no reason why. But then we saw a couple games last year where it went the opposite. I just wish it would be nice if both of these guys could have a nice game once in a while instead of always having to be one or the other. And then when one is doing well, the other one gets you nothing. Like, how about, you know, Crabtree, give me 28 points one week and Cooper give you 17. Or Cooper give you 25 and Crabtree give you 15. You're like, all right.
I'd be down with that. I'd be stacking Carr with both of them if that was the case.
I mean, at some point, actually, I think the double stack is playable. But I mean, at some point, wouldn't that be nice if that? But it actually tends to go like one guy does crazy things and the other guy does nothing. Like it's a very all or nothing. It's very much GPP only. Actually, it's a really really interesting. You know, almost weekly GPP scenario where one of those two guys goes off and you never know who it is, who it's going to be. So, but in general, I actually think you have to get more exposure to this game. As much as we haven't seen prior seniors do anything, and as much as we haven't seen Jamison Crowder do anything, these are guys you got to play. Again, we're talking GPPs. I think in cash games, you can always avoid a game or two or three or five. You can avoid them. We could find safer situations.
Can you avoid this in cash, though?
Yes. Absolutely.
Or you might be able to avoid the Washington side of it, but I think I have to have some exposure to some Raiders or something.
Okay. I mean, then you can take Derek Carr.
54-point total. It's frightening, but
it's a lot.
I'm gonna regret it if that thing goes 24 to 23 or some crap like that.
You know what? In cash, I never have those. I don't feel those regrets in my cash lineups. Oh. I don't feel
I bet you people that faded that Sunday night game last week felt that.
Who the fuck faded the Sunday night game between why would you fade that game? Like what why would you fade Packers and Falcons? Like why do we play fantasy?
Well, that's
football?
What I'm saying. I guess that's my point, is it looks the same on paper. It's a close spread, it's a huge total, it's over 50 points. Everybody feels like we have to get pieces of it, but this one feels much less predictable
and much less safe.
Than last week. Last week, that thing was just lock and load, fire them up, bad defenses, good offenses. We know this thing should go off, get pieces of it, and move on. This one, it's
Freeman,
like,
Monty,
you should be doing the same thing, but then again, you're kind of like, what pieces? What pieces do I feel comfortable with?
I think at some point, these weapons for the Redskins are going to start to produce. And we've seen Jamison Crowder be good. We've seen Terrell Pryor Sr. be good. And at some point, they're going to start producing. I think it's going to be this week. One of these two guys is going to have a big game. I mean, you know, Terrell Pryor, I'm a little concerned about just four targets last. What the hell happened there? But I guess they won, so it didn't matter. Somehow they won by throwing it to Chris Thompson. I didn't see the game.
Oh, he broke a couple of touchdown runs or something, because I was watching Cousins for my own fantasy purposes, praying, not for DFS, for season long, just praying that he would do something. He never did because they kept giving it
to
Chris Thompson.
Chris Thompson just had a miracle.
Got two or three carries.
Yeah, he got a miracle carry for a breakaway touchdown.
Yeah. The other two backs out-carried him, out-touched him by a wide margin, and he's the one that got all the points. So
yeah, I kept seeing him give it to Pirine. Pirine, 21 attempts. Ooh, okay. Mm-hmm. Hello there. Samaje Perine. 21 attempts. Didn't do much with it at the Rams. One reception. If Fat Rob is out, which it looks like he might be, and we're all looking for some value this week.
There you go. There's your workload back at cheap pricing.
Heavy exposure to the Perine.
You heard it here first.
You heard it here.
I guarantee you heard it here first.
You know, I'm the type of person that plays running backs filling in for injured starters.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And I prefer them on a team where the starters were really successful. And this isn't exactly that situation. But this game sets up well. This game actually sets up better for Chris Thompson, because I think the Redskins are going to be playing from behind a little bit. But that's not for sure. They're at home, and if they step up their game, and they could come out and put up a nice game, and you'll hear Cousins yelling, "Whoa, you like that, motherfucker?" And he'll do all that shit. "You like this shit?" Like, I could see it. So I don't see why not. I mean, again, the Raiders allowed the Jets to score 20 points, and the Jets have no players on offense whatsoever. I actually got Kurt a call Cousins the other day, and it was Mike Maccagnan. And he was asking me if I was able to play quarterback. And I said, "Listen,
nice.
My knee is fucked up. But if it wasn't, I'd be all in on that."
I just don't see Kirk Cousins being the smack-talking type. I feel like that feels like me doing all the smack-talking out there in an NFL field. People are just looking at me, "Just go away,
Fleet. Kirk Cousins could be like, "You like that?" He's going to start throwing touchdowns to Jameson Crowder. "You like that?" And I'm going to be like, "Hell yeah, I like that shit, because I got you on my fantasy team and scoring crazy points." So it's a game to get exposure to. It is what it is. You got it. It's 54 points. Get Jay Crowder, you know, pick one between Crabtree and Cooper. You know, I think Crabtree is the cash play and Cooper is the GPP. But absolutely, I don't really think any of them are a cash play, because if I even have to say this guy's a cash play and this guy's a GPP, like, he's not a cash play, because he's going to put up – if Cooper's going bananas, then Crabtree often doesn't do a thing. One of these days, they're going to both put up some – I think my GPP play is Derek Carr and both of his wide receivers.
And you're going to run it back with Crowder?
Yes. I like that. Do the whole deal. Although the problem is they made Cooper and Crabtree so expensive that you can't actually pull that off. But
right,
if you could, it would be an interesting play.
Well, you just have to start me. I'm Min Sal. I can get you a point or two. All right, next, Monday night. This game's relatively anticlimactic after that Sunday night hammer. Dallas, going out to Arizona? Of course, division game. 3-point road favorite again, 47-point total. That game actually has a little bit of goodness. Is Zeke going to hustle this time or what?
Hell yeah, he's going to step up his game. It's going to be interesting playing the two-game Sunday, the primetime slate, because there's a lot of fantasy interest
in
both of these games, and it's not an easy one.
Call.
Like, last week, it was so easy. That's why our guys all won the fucking tournament, because I came out, and we were talking about this, and we wrote a specific column about it where it was like, oh, number one, just fade the quarterbacks and most of the second-game offenses and concentrate on Packers, Falcons. It didn't seem genius. But somehow, yeah. And the biggest thing was, with Jordy getting injured, it kind of affected a lot of things. But, I mean, the Ty Montgomery, 100%, Devontae Freeman, 100% exposure. There was a few scenarios, because the Monday night game had no real running backs that you're getting excited for. There was a few situations that allowed for some what I like to call free squares that really made it possible to win the contest. And if you just started out and said 50-50 Rodgers Ryan, which is how I approached it, and I looked at the defenses and I said, all right, I don't think the defense is going to come from that game, which almost did with the Falcons on that pick return, but I said, I don't think the defense is going to come from this game, so let's go 50-50 Giants Detroit. Then I'm like, you know what, Giants are at home, let's go 60-40 Giants Detroit. You know, I should have gone the opposite way, but nonetheless, 60-40 Giants Detroit. And then it was like, then you're setting your exposures to this wide receivers, and it's mostly, you know, your Julio Jones, your Jordy Nelsons, your Devontae Adams, your Randall Cobbs, and your Sanu, you know, all the usual names. And then with the tight end position, there were four of them, and you just went 25% a pop. And every one of them actually did okay, except for maybe Hooper. So, you know, that was the formula last week to win the tournament. This week you can't really do that. Like, who am I fading? I mean, like, I guess Carson Palmer, you know, but you want some J.J. Nelson, you want the Oakland guys, you want the Washington, and Dallas looks good, and you want Ezekiel Elliott, and Dak Prescott could have a big game, and Dez Bryant. So this will be a very interesting and certainly much less easy to cut down on the player pool Monday
yeah,
night.
You're
going
to have to
night.
Make choices, there's no doubt.
The Cardinals' defense has not been impressive at all. I don't think they're going to stop the Cowboys. I don't think they can stop Zeke Elliott. And I'm not sure that the Cowboys, I think the Cardinals are going to be able to score. So, all right, let's just actually break it down to the players. Dallas, it's Dak, Zeke, and Dez. I don't really like the secondary guys in this game. I don't think Jason Witten is going to keep beasting every single week.
Good Lord.
I don't think it's going to happen this week. And I don't like Cole Beasley almost ever. And then for the Cardinals, Larry Fitzgerald has been an epic disappointment. And he is going to my you're fucking old and you can't play anymore part of my brain until further notice. Like, hey, I will take him out of the old age home, him and Palmer together. I'm putting him to pasture over at the, Great Neck Estates down the road over here, nursing home. Get 24/7 care. Diapers changed if you have them.
Eating dinner at 4:30.
Hell yeah. These guys are going to early bird. I bet that Carson Palmer and Larry Fitzgerald, they plan dinners together with the family. Because listen, these guys hang out. And they get the wives together. They go out to a local diner.
It goes sizzling.
5 o'clock, not sizzling. I don't know what goes on in Arizona. I'm giving you the New York scenario. All right. You go to the diner, and you don't order a burger or breakfast meal. You go into the diner, and you order, like a roast chicken with the salad and all this crap. And you're like, dude, that's what, you know, that shit was frozen like 10 minutes ago. And you're ordering
this. I gotta get my fiber.
They love it because it comes with a soup and a salad and a dessert and it's all for $13.99. And it's on the thing. And you could only get it between 4 and 6 p.m.
And they drink coffee decaf because it's getting late.
No, because the blood pressure is too high. You gotta have decaf. So anyway, my point is, Larry Fitzgerald's no longer a safe cash play by any stretch. Like, again, he could have a good game this week, and that can all change, but what the fuck? Two games? There's no John Brown. They're playing shitty teams that can't stop the pass, and his what's his stat line over the course of two games? Like, 7 receptions, 90 yards? That's not doing it. I'm off it. J.J. Nelson exploded last week, had a big game. And I think that Chris Johnson has emerged as the
number one.
The number one, as unbelievable as this sounds. And I think Chris Johnson's not going to last. I think he'll, get hurt or something. Cause he's old.
He'll go join Palmer and Fitzgerald.
they're all so old on this team. Chris Johnson?
Pull up a third chair.
CJ from year 2K. I mean, like...
Yeah, CJ2K, that's 17 years ago, man.
Yeah, I mean...
CJ2K... What are you still doing in the league?
2K represents the year he came into the league. Not 2,000 yards.
Awesome. That's some good trolling for a Monday night game.
Yeah, so I mean... But I like the Dallas side of that game a lot. I like Dez, and I like Zeke to come back. I don't know this whole thing, Zeke. He didn't try it. Give me a break. It's fucking Zeke Elliott. The guy is a stud. And he's awesome every week. He had a bad week last week, expectedly, at Denver. Denver's a tough team. His whole team played like shit. So
he was another one I offered McCoy and Jarvis for. I was like, I'm the first one to bite, Le'Veon or Zeke, whichever owner bites, take him.
Is anybody biting on that? Because McCoy has about 1 or 2 weeks left until he's on the shelf for the season, too.
Why you think I'm trying to get rid of him?
So get rid of that guy fast and find a sucker who's going to take on. They're going to run that dude into the ground.
That's what I'm trying to do. He's already got a groin issue.
It's already too late. He's always talking about his groin.
I know, they're always talking about his groin. It's already week two. They're talking about 12 carries and a groin issue. And I'm like, okay, I'll throw in Jarvis Landry. Somebody, Le'Veon sucks this year. Zeke sucks this year. Somebody cough him up to me. I'll buy low.
It's funny. I like Jarvis Landry. I mean, I think he's good. So I think
I like him too, but I got to sweeten the pot somehow.
I hear that, man. I hear that.
But either way,
that looks like it for week three.
Not bad. We got on pace. We cleaned it up a little bit. We're about hour 15, hour 20.
That's about as good as you could do, I think. I think with breaking down all these games and, you know, maybe not focusing too long on the games that we're not so interested in. Just some notes for anybody out there. I will be back for DFS Army Premium members with my Geeks Picks list, which will probably be out on Friday. And at some point, either Thursday night or more likely Friday night, I will record the DFS Army Premium VIP podcast, where I will sort of expand on different strategies for the week slate. As the week moves on, you know, I'm always researching. This is early. I haven't really settled in on a whole lot just yet. But as the week moves on, I will, you know, break them down. Cash plays, tournament plays, different confidence levels and all of that. And obviously we have a lot of other content coming out, both for the public people and the VIP members. Different things. One of the ones, one of my favorites each week is Chop Your Box Checkers articles, really good, where we kind of look at the different, you look at every different position and see who checks off all the boxes for the, like, in the perfect spot, which is kind of fun.
That one's fun.
Yeah.
That one's going VIP soon, though. That one's going to get locked up. It's too good.
Better read it. Well, you know, better take advantage of it, man. That thing's been identifying the best plays of the slate every week. And another one I like is where we're doing a breakdown of the Pick'em games, comparing our projections across each tier. Super helpful for playing those in cash. I've been crushing Pick'em in cash. I love Pick'em in cash, actually. Right now, it's weird. Seems like unusually soft. It could be a short-term thing. I'm just going to keep riding that wave because I've literally swept my Pick'ems on draft. I've never played Pick'em. It's a new format, but I've swept them 2 weeks in a row, and that's awesome. So I'm going to keep doing it, and hopefully this new column concept that we put together is going to make that even easier. Well, we just want to play the cash game smart, and yeah, that's it. Hopefully, you know, we're going to make some money.
I'll tell you this. Let me throw this one in there, too. For people that are maybe sitting on the fence, I'm going to tell you right now, I've never been more convicted. The way you wrapped the pod last week was awesome, and it got me thinking, we don't sell the Army hard enough. And the reason, I don't know why we don't. People are hanging on, and they're wondering, do they do content, do they not? They get a bunch of free stuff. I'm telling you, you're behind the boat. We have algorithms that are kicking your ass, projections that are kicking your ass. I'm not blowing smoke up my ass. Go check my Twitter feed, at Chapadon. Go read through the testimonials that I put up there. These are our VIP members telling you, I don't know why I waited. I don't know what took me so long. I got more out of one comment from so-and-so coach than this whole month's worth of any kind of subscription fee. It paid for itself and then some. I've made more money in the last 2 weeks of this season than I made all of last year combined. We've got these testimonials coming time and time and time again. I don't know why people haven't found the Army. I don't know why people aren't spreading the word and talking about the DFS Army. This is the best kept secret in DFS, and you have yourself a shot to get inside, get involved. If you want a free trial, we've got sites you can join, get a free month. If not, you use coupon code 20 off or whatever. We've got coupon codes out there to get you a discounted membership for the life of your membership. You're missing the boat if you don't jump. You just are.
Couldn't agree more. I think that the days of trying to go it alone or you know, there's a hubris out there that says, if people join a site and, you know, get advice, they're stupid, and why pay for that shit? I could do it for free. There's nothing you say that I can't find on the internet. Yeah, bullshit. Number one, yeah, if you want to put a big part of joining a team, and we have ours, and we think we're the best, and we're awesome, and our guys are putting up major numbers, and we have all the tools and whatnot, and you know, fine, but maybe you think, you know what, these guys are full of shit. This guy, Kevin, he doesn't know what the fuck he's talking about. Great, there are other groups out there too. And there are some that are, most are shit, but there are a few that are good also. There are a few that are fine. I don't think anybody has access or, like, you join some of these other sites with a name at the front of it. You ain't talking to that name in that site.
Nope.
He's not talking to you. Okay, you'll hear from And I'm not going to name these names, but when there's a name at the top of the list that you've heard, he's not talking to you. In the DFS Army, you are talking to me. You're talking to Chapadon. You're talking to Mitch. You're talking to guys who do Keith. These are guys who do this full time. This is how they make their living. And a lot of it is every pro player that I know, and this is the little dirty secret, actual pros, the names that you've heard of. Again, I don't like calling out names too much, but the names that you've heard of at the top of the lists, the ones who are the best players in the world, they have personal assistants. They have people who are compiling all this data for them. They have people monitoring the news. They can afford to hire them as a personal assistant. They literally have a top player will have two guys with him, one doing analytics, the other one monitoring news, and all like working together ahead of putting the slate. And they're putting $100,000 on the line every week. That's how they do it. Now, we can't afford as – I don't do 100 – even I don't do anywhere near that level of volume. I do big volume compared to most people, but not compared to the top guys who can afford to hire their own help. But that's what the team is all about. I used to trade, and we worked together as a team. We helped each other. We called trades out. We all did them together. It was great. But you can't afford a personal assistant. That's what this works as. We have in the Slack rooms where you're calling out what's happening now. Like literally, we're monitoring injury situations. Okay, this guy's out. Pull these guys from your lineups. Swap with this guy. It's even more insane for baseball and basketball. But every sport, just that knowledge alone gives you a massive edge. Having top-notch projections, having amazing tools where you can quickly generate lineups, having the best projections around, or really, really great, you never know who's the best, but really fucking awesome ones that churn out winners where you can see the screenshots. That is what makes us different than other groups. And again, I'm not going to say 100% of them. There are a few out there that I've come across that seem just fine. I've never joined one of them, so I can't say for sure. But I definitely have seen ones that suck. And I've seen, and I've ripped people who write articles where they clearly don't know what the fuck they're talking about. And I see that more often than not. And in 90% of the free stuff that you read on these free groups, pure shit. People who don't know what they're talking about are advising other people. It's the blind leading the blind. That is not what we have going on here. So this was way too much time spent on this pitch, but...
That's okay. They clicked off a while ago.
Yeah, there we go. Anyway, have a great week.
We got the games in under an hour.
There we go. All right, so I'm going to say this. Have a great week, everyone. DFS Army VIPs, we'll see you in Slack. I'll be back with the Geek Picks. Look out for all that stuff, and let's make some money.
That's right. Peace out, guys.
Thank you for listening to the DFS Army podcast. Join the DFS Army today and gain access to our private Slack chat, where you can chat with real DFS pros and coaches, as well as other DFS Army members with winning track records. Also included in your membership is access to our premium articles, DFS Army weighted projections for every sport we offer, from NFL to MMA, weekly player picks and cheat sheets, the strategy vault of timeless concepts, and the DFS Army Domination Station, a truly state-of-the-art lineup optimizer offering your personal projections or ours. The DFS Army membership is the best value across the industry. Join today and get two free ebooks, as well as The Secrets to Unlocking a New Level to Your Game.